All right, guys. Well, I am super pumped about the episode. I couldn't be more happy to talk with Lisa Palumbo again today. This is episode 3 of Health Matters. And so we're going to be talking about the coronavirus. We're going to be talking about masks. We're going to be talking about Event 201, Bill Gates, and the Nipah virus. Or I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Nipah virus. And you're like, the Nipah virus, what in the world is that? Well, we're going to get to it because this is something that they said in Event 201, and we're going to play the clip here in a little bit. But they said that there are viruses on the planet that we know are coming. And they said, such as the Nipah virus. And so, what is this Nipah virus? Is it coming? And, yeah, it just kind of gives me goosebumps. I can't wait to talk with Lisa. She's much more, what's the word? The words flow off her mouth a little bit better than mine. But, guys, make sure you support us on Patreon, on our BitChute. Make sure you subscribe to our BitChute channels and the Brighteon channels. These are, channels that I have set up. Because of censorship, and censorship is real right now, and all of these videos have gotten banned from YouTube. I'm going to be adding more and more up there. Also, subscribe to our backup channel, which is Generation Conspiracy. That is going to be our backup channel from here on out. We had a strike last week. That's why we kind of disappeared for a week. But what I want to do for from here on out is I want to have the show keep going. So what we're going to do, if we get a strike, and that would be our second strike, which means we would be out for 14 days next time, we are going to go to this backup channel, Generation Conspiracy, and continue with the stream. So make sure you guys subscribe and click the bell on this Generation Conspiracy website. Also, you can subscribe to our Patreon account. That way you'll be notified of any new videos that are released by Framing the World. And I'm going to be releasing videos that maybe are more sensitive. So I'm not going to release them on YouTube. We'll release them only to Brighteon or BitChute or some of these alternative sites. I'm still trying to get it on different platforms. But like I said, you know, guys, censorship is a real thing. And, you know, I have lost a lot of support lately. So if we want to keep this show going, I really do encourage you guys to support us at Framing the World. And, you know, with that being said, I had this new idea that I wanted to do. And so let's play this clip. And I'm going to show you kind of this idea I have for the future for a Wednesday night show. Watch this clip and we'll come right back. So right behind me, I have a ton of different hard drives from the 10 different films I've done, plus all the conferences and just interviews that I've shot with people over the years. And, you know, a lot of this footage, I would say more than half of it, has never been seen. And so what I want to do is release every Wednesday some interview or some segment that's never been seen, and I want to call it Way Back Wednesday. And so this is an idea that came to me, and I think it's just an awesome idea. But what I'm going to have to do is hire an editor to help me do this. And so what we're trying to do is raise $300 for each episode so I can pay an editor to edit an interview, a full interview, or a full segment. And this is all going to be fan-based. So you're saying, well, what's going to be released? Well, if you donate to this project called Way Back Wednesday, and we'll put the link in the description of this video, you'll be able to choose what interview you want released or what different segment you want released. And so if you donate $300, of course, you'll be able to choose whatever interview you want. And I'm going to try to, you know, give you guys what you want, anything you want. And so what I'm going to do is, if you donate $300, I'm going to not only you know, let you choose what you want to air, but I'm going to give you a release date. So I'm going to say, hey, this episode is going to be released on such and such date. So if you guys like that idea and you want to support that idea, please donate to this project. I think it's a great way to get this material out there. I think this live stream is just, it's a great mode to kind of present it and then just get it out there. So it's up to you guys whether you want this to become a reality. Way Back Wednesday, I think, is a great idea. And so if you want to do it, just donate. And you say, well, oh, I can't donate the whole 300. Just donate 50. And just donate 50 and say, hey, I want to do this episode. I can't guarantee that that will be done, but what I'll do is I'll put you on like a waiting list. And then once we reach that 300, we'll decide how we want to do it. And of course, I'll talk with you and discuss it back and forth through emails. But I think it's a cool idea. I hope you think it's a cool idea. I hope you partner with me in getting some of this footage out there, because, you know, I have awesome interviews from Pastor Steven Anderson, Pastor Roger Jimenez, Alex Jones, Dr. Edward Group, Mike Adams, stuff that has never been seen before. And so, I mean, the list goes on and on. Honestly, I have like 100 interviews we could choose from back there on the shelf. So thank you guys for your support, of course. And I really hope, you know, some of you guys help me make this a reality. So I appreciate it, guys, and God bless. So that's what we want to do here, guys. I hope you support this idea. I think it'd be awesome to have a Wednesday show of all this archive footage that we can release and get out there to the world. And so, you know, it's just costs a little bit of money. I have to hire the editor to help me out with this. So we do need to raise money for that to become a reality. So hopefully we can get some of you out there to support this new project, Way Back Wednesdays. And that would be fun to get unreleased footage released every Wednesday. But we need you guys out there to support that, to make that happen. But other than that, I think, you know, we got a lot of great shows here this week, and we got a lot of different things on the horizon. But let's get right into today's conversation. We have Lisa on the line. Lisa, how are you?
Good. Good to see you, Paul.
Yeah.
Good to be on the show.
Yeah, it's always nice to talk with you. You and your husband are just great people, and you're always so knowledgeable about all this stuff. You know, a lot of times I'm just so busy with the show, preparing this. I'm on different topics, it seems like, every day, so I can't really, like, do a bunch of research. So that's why I really appreciate you and your Facebook feed, because you always seem to be putting out articles that are just really awesome. We are going to be talking about the CDC report you posted about the masks later too on the show. So where do you want to start, Lisa?
Do we just jump right in? Do you want to talk about, let's just go ahead, since you threw it out there with the NEPA. So like you said, you watched the entire event 201, all those many hours, and, you know, just kind of glossed over this one part. And I'm pretty sure I'm quoting it almost exactly. The gentleman during like the roundtable discussion, you know, he's on there, he says, you know, we can kind of predict for things like, and he mentioned MERS, he mentioned Ebola, he said, but there's things that we know are coming. Now, I know he said no. He said there's things that we know are coming, and he said like NEPA. And because most people, including myself, yourself, have never heard of NEPA, it probably just didn't register, you know? And so I watched this short video that kind of zoned in on that clip, and then they talked about NEPA. And so I looked it up myself, and it has, Wikipedia said, what was it, a 40 to 70% death rate?
A 50 to 75% death rate on this virus that he says, we know is coming. is a virus has a 50 to 75% death rate. And that's what we're trying to get across, guys. We're not saying that there can never be some deadly virus that comes and kills everyone. What we're saying, what we've been saying since day one, is this coronavirus is just a common flu, like that book said, that we keep pointing out, that they said there's different types of coronavirus and it could be deadly or not, and it's not.
Right. There is so many different types of coronaviruses. There's the four common cold coronavirus. There was the original SARS, so there are MERS was a coronavirus, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, that had a very high death rate. So I was kind of thinking, well, maybe that's going to be their next move, is to release MERS. Because again, I can't, there's so much evidence to show that here in the United States, we had to offshore gain of function studies in order to do this very risky research that hundreds of scientists had signed off on it to declare a moratorium against gain of function studies because of their pandemic potential. Fauci gave $3.74 million for a total of $7.4 million. And even Newsweek covered it. I had put that up on Facebook, as soon as I saw it. That was months ago, Newsweek, actually. Because again, with Operation Mockingbird and knowing that mainstream media, that over 90% of mainstream media is owned by only six corporations. And this is like to fulfill a almost like a corporate oligarchy agenda, right? Like corporate fascism. It's basically, you can't trust them, but every once in a while they have to throw you a bone to act like they're trying to be a legitimate investigative journalist. So every once in a while, the New York Times or Newsweek or some other mainstream source will actually do some legitimate reporting. And that's just to keep, keep some of us kind of watching, right? So again, if they told lies all the time, nobody would watch, right? So they have to mix it up with a little, like, as they say, like candy to entertain us and keep us tuned in. Then, so it was Newsweek who kind of blew that lid that Fauci had, he authorized that money to go to the lab in Wuhan, and they were doing the gain of function studies. And it was published in the Journal of Nature and other places that these bat coronaviruses could not previously infect humans. And so they had to manipulate them in such a way that they could enter in at the ACE2 receptors and actually be able to infect humans. So there we have, there's so much evidence, again, but you can't conclusively say. But these are the kind of questions that real reporters should be asking Fauci during these press conferences, and nobody does because it's so rigged. So they're not going to put Fauci on the spot. But anyway, going back to they have all these other viruses. They have patents on viruses, and Plandemic Series Part 2, really kind of went over a lot of the patents on the viruses. Patents on the PCR testing, which goes all the way back to 2015, and the wording was such that it said COVID-19 in the 2015 patent. How can that possibly be? So, and again, those PCR tests are so inaccurate, and the inventor said they were never supposed to be used for diagnostic purposes. So going back to the NEPA, so you have everything has come to fruition. We're just watching events unfold that we saw in Event 201, which took place in October of 2019, before. And obviously that wasn't just a stage play that just was thrown together on the fly. That took a lot of preparation. They had to be preparing for that event for months in advance in order to get that polished. Incredibly, with actual like news, and news, fake newscasters, fake roundtable discussions, fake experts, all these people, even though there were real players, the equivalent of like the leader of the CDC from China was there, and the WHO, all these players. And of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that was one of the screenshots that I sent you, was showing Bill Gates and how many billions of dollars that he donates to all these organizations, because who hosted the event 201 was John Hopkins, and John Hopkins is named as one of his donors. I can't remember the amount. You know, Fauci has received money from Bill Gates. Bill Gates has his tentacles and money and everything. And, you know, he was interviewed at least twice where he said, yeah, you know, boy, we're really fumbling through this whole thing because we never practiced. He used lines like that. We never, you know, kind of did a run through. Meanwhile, that's a total lie because they had Event 201. So he's basically saying, you know, this is going to be the worst economic downturn, which, you know, it is for the middle class and it is for small business. But look, I also sent you another screenshot that showed all the billionaires. This isn't the 1%. This is like the 0.0001% of people that whose wealth, whose billions have just gone through the roof astronomically. So this is one of the greatest wealth transfers of wealth we've ever seen. You know, this is just absolutely incredible to shut down over a million small businesses, like something close to half of African-American businesses, and to funnel all that wealth up to the billionaires. It's just crazy how this is, you know, transpired with, you know, what's his name, Bezos with Amazon. He you know, is now the wealthiest person on the planet.
Yeah.
So, and everybody's heard.
Yeah. And that screenshot you sent me, it says that Bezos' wealth increased $76 billion. That's intense. Mm-hmm. Because everyone's, yeah. And just think about all the small businesses that have gone out of business and now people are just going over to Amazon. This is a way to destroy the competition, just make everyone buy from the companies that are controlled. And you know what? This event 201 predicted that the virus, yep, would be under control, and then a new wave came, and they're talking about the second wave. And what a better way to just totally take over the world is if an actual second wave that actually killed people came through, and they would just lock this planet down. And that would be the end game.
Exactly. And so when you look at the redistribution of wealth, when you look at the devastation to the middle class, when you look at how, you know, we know from studies in the 80s when the population was significantly less, but for every... it was 1.9%. For every 1.9% increase in unemployment, you're looking at about 37,000 deaths to Americans. And then you have another several thousand that will either go to mental institutions or what was the other thing? Oh, prison. They know statistically that this is what happens. And we are going to see the worst unemployment. So, again, the cure is worse than the disease, referring to, you know, this particular coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. This is not going to kill nearly as many people as the shutdown, you know, with actual statistics. So so getting back to, you know, what do this whole takeover, the globalists, the elite, they want to, you know, they want to have a takeover. They want a one world government. And by completely streamlining or business to just a handful of large businesses is exactly what these tyrannical communists want. So they want to just have to regulate just a handful of things. They don't want all these pesky little mom and pop shops that they have to worry about. So that's what's taking the hit. And we're just going to be seeing more top-down government control, more authoritarian leadership. And just like the governor in your state, I mean, she's like, that is an example of severe tyrannical authoritarian leadership, and even being called out by the state Supreme Court and not willing to relinquish her power. It's just, it's crazy to me.
Yeah. So, Gretchen Whitmer is totally out of control here in Michigan. But you know what? Before we move on, Lisa, I want to play this clip because I want people to understand and comprehend what we're saying about this Nympha. What? How do you say it?
Okay, Nypha.
Nypha.
Yes, Nypha. Okay, so set it up, which is you're going to play the clip of the event 201.
Yes.
Where he just mentions this, and he says, yeah, we know it's coming. Okay, so yeah, play the clip.
All right, here we go.
But I wanted to build on Jane's comment about the research and development enterprise, because I think it highlights another gap. I do think we need to put more financing into things like the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation to prepare as their strategy is for things we can predict, MERS, other Ebola, other things that we know are coming, Nipah.
Nipah.
Yes.
And right here, guys, and I want to pull this up. And Lisa, I want you to talk about this as well, but I want to show it on screen as we're talking about this, is the Wikipedia page where they actually show that this Nipah virus can cause a 50 to 75% a death rate to those that were infected back in 2018. So this is a serious virus that they know is out there. And, you know, we're not saying that a deadly virus can't come around. And actually, you know, they probably will bring about a deadly virus because it makes total sense for the takeover of America. Because Hollywood has been programming us for decades now of this virus that comes in and wipes out the world. And we know disease is in the end times. Is part of the master plan, and what better way to take over the world quickly than a virus, as we've seen over the last year?
Yes. So I couldn't see if you pulled it up. I don't know if you have that up on the screen for everyone, but like you said, a 50 to 75% death rate, that is just, you know, compared to the 0.26 overall death rate, less than 1%. For SARS-CoV-2, a 50 to 75%. So you're looking at just astronomical numbers. And so this is something that came to light. Like I said, I sent it to you yesterday. So I just came across this information yesterday. So briefly last night when my husband and I were watching the video that led me, you know, to find this, he did a quick search, and I sent you, I believe, either a screenshot or a link that shows that remdesivir, of course, we know is, you know, a really, you know, not so great therapeutic that they're touting, a very expensive, because it hasn't even been approved. It has emergency use authorization for coronavirus. Supposedly, Trump took remdesivir. I mean, again, how are we supposed to know if he really got it or not? But remdesivir shows that it worked in green monkeys against Nipah. So again, when you follow the money, which is what you always have to do to kind of figure things out, you're looking at to vaccinate, for example, for SARS-CoV-2, the entire population is going to be like a $1.3 trillion. I mean, it's just your head explodes thinking about this amount of money, because not only do the developers of these vaccines, Johnson & Johnson and Moderna, they're getting free money, taxpayer dollars, to actually develop the vaccines. Billions of dollars are going in to research and development. Then they'll profit on the back end, and then they'll further profit from damaging all these people from side effects. But then you have this new disease that we're just learning about, Nipah, that, you know, according to Event 201, we know it's coming. And why else? Why do you think that, you know, since it only really, it's not going to be a profitable therapeutic if it's only in these remote areas that Nipah actually is typically infective, right? So what was it, Southeast Asia area?
Yeah.
So it's not going to make a lot of money, but it will make a lot of money as a therapeutic if they just drop it on the whole world, right? So if they say Nipah's coming, and this is Event 201, and this is talking about, you know, what we're doing, you know, gauge towards the United States, this is scary stuff. Like, and this is what I've been saying. I know I've mentioned it to you. I know, I think we've talked about it on the show in the past. that my biggest worry, you know, obviously is tyranny. That's one of my biggest, you know, things that I'm worried. I'm not worried about contracting SARS-CoV-2, right? So, but I'm worried about the tyranny, and I've always been worried about what are they going to try to pull on us this coming cold and flu season. They are pushing the flu vaccine harder than ever before. So people are running out to get a flu vaccine. And I think we talked about it on the last show that there is published peer-reviewed science that shows that there is a 4.4-fold increase of other respiratory illnesses upon receipt of the inactivated flu vaccine. So that's a 440% increase that you'll get something else. Because again, it's disabling your immune system. It's causing your immune system to engage after something it may never even come in contact with. So you are setting yourself up to contract something else that you do actually come in contact with, which could be, you know, Nipah, you know? So my goodness. And to think that remdesivir is now being touted again, not on the mainstream media, but you just had to do a little bit of digging. And so then, you know, I don't like to use Google because, you know, their algorithms make you find what they want you to find versus what you're looking for. But Google gives you a really good feel for what they want you to know, right? So, and usually if they are just going to inundate you with statements from all the known so-called fact-checking sites like Snopes and, you know, science-based medicine and, you know, respectful insolence and all those, you know, those pawns of the industry, I did a Google search that, you know, does hydroxychloroquine, and I put Nipah, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it was kind of like, have you ever seen the conglomerations of all the mainstream media outlets all saying things like a script, and you just play it and it's just an echo yeah. chamber of all the same lines, like it's all scripted. Well, the same way, you know, with the Nipah and hydroxychloroquine, you are seeing that same script just in word form, just article after article. Nope, the hydroxychloroquine does not work against Nipah. So over and over. So that tells me it does. So, you know, so I'm thinking that because hydroxychloroquine, again, works, is known to work for the malaria virus, they're going to acknowledge that it's just another antiviral that stops viral replication. And it, you know, it's that simple. But again, you can't get your hands on it, right? They took it off the shelves. It was over the counter in France, took it off the shelves. Over the counter in Canada, took it off the shelves. So that tells you, give me a break. If that doesn't speak volumes, you know, I don't know what does. So I plan on trying to get in touch with, like, you know, the frontline doctors and maybe giving them a heads up, because I honestly feel like this Nipah stuff is very unknown to most people.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people waking up against this virus, and I feel like they need to make a statement like, no, this is real. This is going to happen. Like, I feel like it's not a far stretch to think that there would be a deadly virus in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not anytime soon, but, you know, you could see it happening within our lifetime.
Yeah, and everything, you know, they're kind of always telling us what they're going to do, because all the contradictions that you see coming from the CDC, coming from you know, Redfield and Fauci, and they usually say the truth first at one point, and then they totally turn around and start to lie and say the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Gilead is the company responsible that's behind remdesivir, and that same short video that I watched to learn about this Nipah thing talked about how Bill Gates and George Soros are heavily invested in Gilead. So again,
wow.
You know, and they're,
it's the same players every time. It's the same players.
Yes. Yes. That's what's just so crazy. I mean, so let's just jump over. So again, Nipah needs to be on everybody's radar, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it needs to be shouted, because mm-hmm. I could totally see this happening.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, you think, okay, there's, to my knowledge, there's no virus. We tried to look up what are the deadliest viruses, and I'm trying to remember what we came up with. There was a couple other ones that we'd never heard of when my husband and I were looking last night. But again, there's no virus that kills everybody. You know what I mean? So there is, you know, that don't totally despair. Again, you want to be on that side of the other 50% or the 25%. And there's ways, you know, because again, what have they told us? They haven't told us how to be healthy. They've basically changed, you know, the definition of health. Like wearing a mask is healthy. That's not healthy. You know, wearing a mask is depleting your oxygen. Wearing a mask is making you rebreathe your own waste and whatever other fungus and bacteria and viruses that mask has collected. And so that is not health. So they redefine words in order to keep us confused. But if they actually cared about us, they wouldn't be pushing a flu vaccine. They wouldn't be pushing masks. And they would tell us to take, you better take vitamin D. Here we come into the, you know, cold and flu season. You know, you better take all these other things that are, you know, you better lose the excess weight, because they know that obesity is a huge risk factor for SARS-CoV-2, you know, but they're not telling us any of those things. They're closing down the gyms, for crying out loud. So you can't even go exercise.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And that's why the name of the show is Health Matters, because we want to get across to people. The point is, you need to get healthy. You need to start implementing things in your life now to get your body healthy, get it healed, because, you know, people have been eating all the, and I'm one of them, okay? We've been eating all this junk for so many years, and it's breaking down our system. We need to get healthy. We need to be prepared for a real virus if it does come.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we need to kind of look to the future and take heed to these messages, because they do tell us, you know, it's always hidden in plain sight. They've always kind of, you know, done these exercises, like, what was the NORAD stuff for 9/11? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're always showing what they're going to do. So it's no joke that he said, and he said, we know it's coming. So that just gives you goosebumps.
Yeah. And this article that you sent us, will the bat-borne Nipah virus be the next global pandemic? And so,
oh, I know.
Like, Stanford University.
It took long to just find that. Yeah. So scary stuff, but let's jump into that CDC and their study in May of this year, which I thought was such an incredible find, because here in May of 2020, the CDC did a retrospective meta-analysis of all the studies pertaining to masks from 1946 to 2018. And basically, they concluded that there is no evidence to show that masks are effective to stop viral transmission. And of course, we didn't have SARS-CoV-2 at the time, right? But we do have the influenza, and that's where most of the tests were and most of the studies were pertaining to the influenza. But then, you know, I talked to a lawyer friend, and she, you know, I said, well, don't you think this is the silver bullet to show that this is fraud? And of course, she always, you know, grounds me back to, you know, from a legal point of view. And she said, well, they'll say that all those 72 years of studies did not pertain to specifically the coronavirus. And I said, okay. But then she did come back shortly after and said, you know, I just looked up the particle size of the influenza virus compared to SARS-CoV-2. And she said, guess what? SARS-CoV-2 is smaller, so it actually, the study is that much more powerful to argue in favor of masks not working against SARS-CoV-2, even though the studies were on influenza, because if the particle's even smaller, it's just going to slip right through that much more.
Yeah, and I want to show this on the screen here, because you posted this on Facebook, these screenshots. In pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of a face mask. And this is from the CDC, guys. Disposable medical masks, also known as surgical masks, are loose-fitting devices that were designed to be worn by medical personnel to protect accidental contamination of patient wounds. and to protect the wearer against splashes or sprays of body fluids. There is limited evidence for the effectiveness in preventing influenza virus transmission, either when worn by the infected person for source control or when worn by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. Our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza. Wow.
Yeah. So again, you know, you're supposed to, the idea of, you know, wear the mask to, I wear mine to protect you, you wear mine. And they're saying source control or exposure. Nope, nothing. So, and again, SARS-CoV-2 is even smaller than influenza. And then that isn't even looking at all the studies that confirm that it's a health hazard, that it has serious risks to it's not benign whatsoever. So, and the thing is, to me, and I pointed it out to my lawyer friend, I said, well, gosh, you know, this is why it's fraud, because you have the CDC doing the, here's the science, right? So whenever they have a mandate or a, some type of new, you know, directive that they're giving us, there should be science behind it, but they're not, they're just generalizing. We're supposed to just trust the experts. And you have Dr. Robert Redfield go on TV and, you know, they played the clip on the Ron Paul Liberty Report of him holding up his mask and saying, this is our best defense. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, what else did he say? It was just like, what? He said, this is, you know, there's science behind these are effective, when his own agency did a meta-analysis that says just the opposite.
Yeah.
So how is that not fraud? How is that not deceiving people into using something that's actually going to really mess with their immune system? Because we need to be exposed to all these things. And again, masks, for those who are still, you know, wanting to hold on to that mask thing and feel like it's a you know, something to keep them safe, it would stop a droplet. I'm not going to say it doesn't stop a droplet, but I think I sent you, I think one of the last screenshots I sent you was just a quick Google search of how viruses are the main mode of transmission for viruses. So this goes back to, I think you and I talked about this, I'm not sure, as far as the CDC walked back, they went back and forth a total of three times so far, because they don't want to talk about aerosols. They don't want to talk about aerosolized particles. They want to talk about droplets. They don't want to talk about, you know, yeah, they'll talk about fomites, but they won't talk about aerosolized particles. So I think that last screenshot, I did send that to you, right?
Yeah, and I have it pulled up on the screen right now.
Okay, so it basically was saying, if you want to go ahead and read it, that it's all these different viruses, including coronaviruses, are listed in that Google search. Coronaviruses, influenza viruses, rhinoviruses, all these viruses, the main mode of transmission is aerosolized particles. Aerosolized particles are from your breath. So those particles are suspended in air. They're lighter than air. And as I think the screenshot might have mentioned, that they can be suspended for minutes or hours, depending on the humidity. Right. So that's really kind of the variable that will tell you how long the suspension will be. So you can walk through clouds of these things at the Walmart or wherever from somebody that could have been infected, and it's not, your mask is not going to stop it. So a large droplet, for example, if you and I are talking face to face and I, you know, people sometimes spray their, you know, they say it or spray it kind of thing, and a droplet lands on your shirt. Do you really think that droplet is going to make you be infected with the coronavirus? Because that droplet is not something you're going to inhale, right? That's not something you're going to inhale. It's just going to get soaked into your shirt. And so these droplets, and remember when Fauci was originally talking about masks, he's like, well, you may block a droplet. That's exactly right. You may block a droplet. Well, who cares? Because droplets aren't the main mode of transmission. And that's why the CDC, I think, didn't you post about this? Was it you that talked about how they walked back a third time? They're like, yeah, aerosolized particles. Yeah, that is a mode of transmission. Nope, it's not. Yeah. Yes, it is. It's like, my goodness, what a bunch of clowns. That, but they realize that they're like, oh, well, we can't really deny reality, yet we can't get people to think that, you know, aerosols are a danger, because then they'll know that masks don't work. So they just are walking this tightrope, and it's just an absolute crazy, it's a joke that they can't, you know, just know what Google knows. Like, that's a quick Google search. That's hard science. That's how they're transpired. His name is Denis. He's from Canada. He's a physicist from Canada, Denis Rancourt. He went through this in excruciating detail. I listened to this very long, kind of boring thing where he's like, yeah, he said, it's always been about aerosolized particles. And he said, that's how viruses are transmitted, droplets. And then fomites, that's a goofy word. Fomites are just, if you were to spit or those particles land on a surface and it becomes contaminated. So, like, you know, you go to all the stores and they're just wiping everything down nonstop because of the fomites. That's the scientific term for what they're trying to wipe away, is the contaminated residue on commonly touched surfaces. But again, those aerosols, they go right through the cloth mask. And again, last show, I think we talked about how the cloth mask, there's a study that shows a 13-fold increased rate of respiratory infections just in general, because you're collecting, those cloth masks are so thick and they're going to get so wet from your, you know, just respiration that they're going to collect every virus, every bacteria, everything imaginable on that. And you're just going to breathe it in and get an infection, a 13-fold higher risk. So it's just insane to me that they can try to keep up this charade, yeah, you know, with denying the fact that aerosolized particles aren't a major transmission factor.
Yeah. And the masks are just, I keep saying this every show, are just a way to control us. It's a way to keep us in submission. It's a way to make us panic and be in fear. And it has nothing to do with stopping COVID. It's literally, it has nothing to do with it. And that's why I've been so adamant about not wearing one ever since this thing began.
And I think, and we know just from what they don't say and what they do say, they're telling you to get a flu shot. They're not telling you to take vitamin D, vitamin C, taking, you know, selenium, boosting up your immune system, making sure you're exercising, getting fresh air. They're not telling you any of those things because they don't care about you. So why on earth would they, if masks worked, they would tell us not to wear them, because they aren't trying to make us healthy. They want those numbers, they want those deaths numbers as high as they can possibly go. So if masks actually helped, they would definitely, you know, tell us not to wear them, because yeah, they don't want the outcome to be good. This is part of their plan. So,
yeah. And I love how, yeah, I had Gianluca Zana on the program a couple weeks ago, and he came out with this, like, just full on mask where it, you know, you breathe your own air, and it's those kind of masks actually work. But then again, what kind of brain problems would you have if you just wore those masks all the time? Even those, yeah, good ones. It's like,
and that's, yeah, I mean, it's not practical. It's silly. And it just, and the masks, again, are just a constant reminder, because if we didn't know all summer when they're trying to say, oh, it's because of the masks that the cases are going down. No, it's because it's not cold and flu season. And
yeah,
viruses can't survive in Arizona's, you know, 110 degree temperatures. That's what,
yeah,
it's just so silly. And they try to credit the masks. And So the idea that the masks are a constant reminder, a behavioral reminder that we're in a pandemic, you know what I mean? That to keep that fear going so that we can't interact normally as human beings and we're staying away from each other and all those kind of things. And it is ritualistic, like the, what was it? The 6 feet and the, yeah, it was the 6 feet is part of a cultic ritual. So yeah, it's interesting how that 6 feet.
Well, it totally, you know, dehumanizes us.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go like this, right, You can't see our facial expressions. You can't see how I'm feeling or reacting. It just totally dehumanizes us. And, you know, we interviewed David Icke the other day on the program, and he nailed it on the face mask. What he said, if you haven't yet listened to that interview, it is one of the best interviews we've done on the show, and I really encourage you to check it out. He really nailed it on the face mask issue.
Oh, good for him. Yeah, I mean, because you have this whole, it's like you said, the dehumanization, and then we no longer, the elites, it's almost like it maybe helps them want to rule over us that much more because we don't seem human, or, you know, we just seem like all these drones, you know, rather than individuals, because it takes away your individuality. You know, little kids, they look in the mirror and they see an individual by the time they're like around 2 years old. But if they're having to, you know, over 2 years old, they're supposed to wear a mask. It's absolutely crazy. So, and when you think back to, I meant to send you this too. Do you remember, I guess it was a Super Bowl halftime show where they had that really spooky, gigantic black, like almost like a, what do you call those kind of people? The Grim Reaper looking kind of guy. And don't you remember there was all those hospital beds, all those little white hospital beds that were paraded around? Yeah. Well, you'll have to go back and
yeah, I'll have to check that out.
So that, to me, that was foreshadowing, because again, they love to kind of show what they're going to do. That was foreshadowing of, you know, COVID-19. Back when, I forget what year, that probably was either 2018 for the halftime show. And it was just this really warped, like death kind of thing with people in hospital beds. So again, it was just all this foreshadowing, predictive programming and, you know, Operation Mockingbird, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, yeah, crazy, crazy stuff. So yeah, masks don't work. They're really bad for you. I did just recently share another brave doctor's stepping out. She's a neurologist and a neuropsychologist. She has a very, very impressive medical degree background. And she's coming right out and saying, hey, this is child abuse. You know, to deprive a developing brain of oxygen is insane. And she's saying that you're not even going to be able to kind of make up for lost time. If you've been running chronically, like these poor kids in school all day being deprived of oxygen, and they have developing brains, they're not going to properly be able to divide brain cells and go through cellular replication. And you're going to lose all that. Because again, there is neuroplasticity, that our brains aren't set in stone, but a developing brain, you don't want to lose out on that brain, those brain development times. Like, it's just crazy to be putting masks on kids. And they have zero risk. Kids have like zero risk from this thing. When you break it down by age, the CDC has like the mortality for coronavirus by age, and they also have the mortality for influenza virus by age. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he recently got his thing taken down on Instagram because he just did a side-by-side of CDC screenshots showing the mortality of COVID-19 by age and the mortality of influenza by age for the age groups. And because right at this moment that the CDC did, you know, release those updated numbers as far as the death rates are like 99.997 for 0 to 19, it's actually less dangerous than the flu for the age groups. And because that type of truth is so in your face, you know, you can't deny stuff like that, that it's just too telling that Instagram took it down, even though it's from the CDC.
Well, that's what we've been saying since day one. And we have been mocked and ridiculed, Lisa, on this show for comparing the flu with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous to mock us because the COVID-19, one of the varieties of COVID-19 is known as the common cold or the common flu.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a different. Yeah. COVID-19 is actually the disease that you would get.
Coronavirus. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. Coronavirus. Yeah.
So SARS. But that's another thing. Like all these individual states that put these state of emergencies, right? And they based it. The thing is, like, all their draconian measures are actually should be null and void because the premise, the very premise of the state of emergency is fraudulent. And the premise being, they're saying we have a novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2. Well, meanwhile, it's mutated so many times, and there's lots of articles that show there's not just one variation now, that we have multiple. So that right there is false. Then they also say that SARS-CoV-2 SARS-CoV-2 causes COVID-19, which is the disease, right? But it doesn't all the time. There's tons of people that test positive and they don't ever have the disease process of COVID-19. And there's people that have the symptoms of COVID-19, but then they get tested and they're negative. So my goodness, so you can't say that this novel coronavirus, of which there's many subtypes, causes COVID-19, because it doesn't in the vast majority of people. They're asymptomatic. They don't get COVID-19. They just have a positive PCR test. That's it.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Well, I wanted to change topics here. You did send me an article about the Australian state law empowers officials to forcibly remove underwear to administer vaccine. I mean, what a crazy article here. Can you tell us a little bit about this article, Lisa?
Well, I sent it to you because I listened to the interview. It was a while ago that I read the article. But yeah, it literally gives the state this type of power and jurisdiction. And it's just worded in such a shocking way. But I think if you could just cue up that portion of there's a gentleman that speaks for a moment because he's kind of under in lockdown in Australia. And then it goes right to a new segment of police officers in Australia explaining that they're, you know, if you're disobeying the curfew and other types of the lockdown measures, then they'll just bust your windows and drag you out of the car.
Right.
And so when you start to see, you know, we had here in Ohio, it was Logan, Ohio. We had a woman who was a mom. She went to an away game for her son's football game. And she's just sitting there minding her own business. And I looked up the Ohio mandate for masks. And when you're outside, it's in lieu of social distancing. Like if you can social distance, you don't have to wear a mask outside in Ohio. Now, the school's going to have their own policy, but again, schools are public accommodations. They cannot have a policy that violates existing state and civil law. So they don't trump, you know, they don't trump civil law for discrimination. And this woman actually has asthma. So she has a legitimate medical exemption to even have to wear a mask. And so she's sitting with her family. You can see clearly in the video. Not the video clip we're doing, but this is something that went so viral. I know millions of people have seen it. Right here in Ohio, she's way more than 6 feet away from any other party. She had her other son there. He was much younger. He's crying. This police officer, and he's an actual police officer, not just a security guard. He took it upon himself. He's a law enforcement officer, not a mandate enforcement officer. He has no business interacting with this woman who's minding her own business, not breaking any laws. And he tried to get her to come with him. And she's like, no, I'm not doing anything wrong, which I feel like that would be how I would handle. I'd be like, I'm not doing anything wrong. And, you know, I would state the law. And he just grabbed her, threw her down, tased a mom for not wearing a mask. And then proceeded to arrest her, and they charged her with trespassing. You know, I called the school. I called the mayor's office. I called the police department. They hung up on me. Like, this is absolutely crazy. And so we're seeing little snippets of these severe authoritarian measures that just represent the bobsled to tyranny. But I believe that Australia is kind of like that test ground. Australia seems to be the test ground of how much pushback are they going to get from citizens, right? So just like Sprouts here in the United States seems to be the grocery store test ground of how much how much tyranny are people willing to take from a grocery store who has these people that are acting like, you know, law enforcement when they're just, you know, they have no authority whatsoever to tell you to not wear, to wear a mask. So I believe that we're going to see Australia as the testing ground for the very slippery slope of severe authoritarian measures leading to tyranny. So yeah, go ahead and play that clip.
The case of which we have crossed that line. The moment the police can stop and start questioning and detain people who are otherwise law-abiding citizens is very much proof positive that the state of Victoria here in the south of Australia is a police state. It's not becoming one. It is already a police state.
Absolutely. And they were boasting, the police themselves, boasting about smashing windows on cars if people aren't offering their details when demanded by police. Let's have a look at that clip.
In the last week, we've seen a trend, an emergence, if you like, of groups of people, small groups, but nonetheless concerning groups who classify themselves as sovereign citizens, whatever that might mean, people who don't think the law applies to them. We've seen them at checkpoints, baiting police, not providing their name and address. On at least three or four occasions in the past week, we've had to smash the windows of people in cars and pull them out of there so they could provide their details because they weren't telling us where they were going. They weren't adhering to the Chief Health Officer guidelines. They weren't providing their name and their address. We don't want to be doing that, but people have to absolutely understand there are consequences for your actions, and if you're not doing the right thing, we will not hesitate to issue infringements, to arrest you, to detain you where it's appropriate. As I say, it's not something we want to be doing, but it is what we will do, and it has been occurring the last week.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that just, I mean, how do people not get fired up about that? I mean, and that woman in Ohio, and so many people, I saw so many comments like on the YouTube video and how people like, well, she resisted. She shouldn't be there. She should stay home if she can't wear a mask. And I'm like, oh my goodness. See how the propaganda works. We've been so indoctrinated on these masks and that we're going to save somebody's life by wearing a mask, and that people literally think that that is a proper use of force for someone who's just minding their own business outside. I just can't get over that is the mentality of people, but it just shows that this continuous, constant propaganda of, you know, the effectiveness of masks is working. And people don't realize, you know, here in the United States, we have a constitution that is not does not give us our rights. Our inalienable rights are given to us by God. They're God-given rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And like a constitutional lawyer, they are there to protect the people from government. The Constitution is there to protect us from a crazy, out-of-control government. And that is definitely a crazy, out-of-control government there in Australia, where they are literally throwing women to the ground on the streets and dragging them off, arresting them for not wearing masks. It's absolutely crazy. And we're seeing a taste of it here. And if people don't take that example and push back, if they don't push back hard enough, that's going to set a precedent in Australia's direction. And we're going to have people smashing us, you know, our windows, our police officers smashing our windows and dragging us out if we're out past curfew or if we're not going on an essential trip when they try to lock us down again.
Yeah, and, you know, mandatory masks is a real issue. I mean, they're already mandatory vaccines is a real issue. They're already mandating vaccines if you want to go to school, if you want to teach in school, if you want to do all these things. And they're gonna mandate stop your right from participating inside, just like China did. If you mm-hmm. don't vaccinate, you're not gonna be able to go to certain events. You're not gonna be able to do certain things. You're not gonna be able to travel. And this is the future, people. This is the future, and that's what ID 2020 or what was that ID 20?
Yeah. Yeah, ID 2020. It's called something else too. It's like your immunity certificate, your COVID pass. They have all these different names for it.
Yeah, and that's coming. That's coming.
Oh, I know. And the fact that it's funny, you know, you brought up China and people, the people of China, you know, wonderful people, right? They it's so funny. They say to Americans, they're just like, you guys watch the news? Like the people in China, they don't watch the news because they know that it's propaganda, right?
Yeah.
And yet the Americans haven't figured that out yet.
Well, there's definitely a great divide that's happening in America right now. And it's, I feel like it's not on our side, because if someone wants to wear a mask, people, look, this is my opinion on masks. If you want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. Mm-hmm. But we're just telling you that it's not going to help you. If that makes you feel better, I guess it could give you a placebo effect. But, you know, I'm not going to hate someone if they wear a mask. But it seems like the people who wear the mask and are so adamant about the mask, they just hate you if you talk against a mask. And if you don't wear a mask, they just hate you. And I feel like there's this really big divide that's happening right now in this country.
Yeah, and it's all by design, because the sad thing is, you know, whether it be, you know, the right left false paradigm or the, you know, the Black Lives Matter is very divisive and they don't even help people of color, you know. So it's just a divisive measure. And you have, you know, the mainstream news that kind of cater to one side or the other of the political spectrum that will, they don't show any of the riots and the arson on CNN, but they show the riots and the arson on Fox to get those people to hate the liberals, and the liberals to be like, what are you talking about? It's all peaceful. Or, you know, so there's all these different ways to divide us. And, you know, again, pro-mask, anti-mask, pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, there's that same level of hostility from pro-vaxxers against the anti-vaxxers. You know, when, guess what? Nobody really started out being, most people anyway, didn't start out being an anti-vaxxer. They had a vaccine-injured child. They knew somebody who was, you know, paralyzed by a flu vaccine, or they saw their child descend into a neurological disorder. I mean, so that's, it's just so sad, because at the same time, now more than ever in the history of the United States, we should be coming together. We need to put aside our differences and say, and point the finger at the people behind the curtain, which are Bill Gates, which are George Soros, which are Anthony Fauci. You know, a career bureaucrat. He works for, you know, he was over, you know, with the NIH for many years. But then how long has he been with NIAID, which is the, you know, allergies and infectious disease? Like, when do you ever hear him talk about all the peanut allergy epidemic? Or when do you ever hear Anthony Fauci come on TV and talk about autoimmune diseases? No, all he does is funnel money to make new drugs. Yeah, that's all he does. Because guess what? If you work for, he's been like a career bureaucrat within these regulatory agencies for like 50 years. If you do that for 50 years, guess what? If you're not going to last 50 years if you're coming up against the pharmaceutical companies. You're only going to last 50 years if you're their best buddy and you're overlooking all their dangerous drugs and everything like that. Because the people that were had integrity, that have been in similar positions to Fauci, if they stood up and told the truth about the dangers of adverse drug reactions, if they spoke up about vaccines, they were gone. They were, you know, history. Their careers, their character was completely smeared and everything. You know what I mean? They're going to be gone.
Yeah. And
so, yeah. Go ahead.
No. And another example of this, how crazy this world is getting over the face mask. The article you sent me in the Philippines for not the, a drunk man shot dead in the Philippines for not wearing face mask. I mean, that is a crazy article right there.
Yeah. And the thing is, there was a quote from the president. I had a bunch of quotes I was going to read, but now we're doing this on my phone. So next time, but it was something to the effect of the president said, you know, people are allowed to, be shot if they are disobeying the lockdown measures. So this is crazy. And if people don't, but again, you know, there was the KGB experiments where they, you know, just like the propaganda machine, this incessant inundation of false information that they realize that if you scare somebody, because that's all this fear propaganda has been, if you scare somebody, it only takes about 2 months of constant misinformation to get someone so afraid that their ability to reason and their rational mind will not and cannot be engaged to even a plain fact, like that stuff that Robert F. Kennedy posted, those plain, obvious facts. They can't even get their mind to have that register properly, like a person that's not crippled by fear. You know, fear is just such an enslaving tool. And that's what all tyrants use, is fear.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah. Just to wrap out this show, and this has been a fantastic show, Lisa. Thank you so much for all your research and dedication to bringing these shows about. And I can't wait to do the next show. But what are some final thoughts you just want to leave people with tonight?
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't jump into, Warp Speed, Operation Warp Speed with this vaccine. Apparently, again, just like we talked about before, that all the news media outlets that are owned by the six corporations, over 90% of the mainstream media, occasionally they do something good. And, you know, with like NPR, you know, I'm not a huge fan of NPR, but they actually tried to do something good. And they saw an article that was very concerning about Operation Warp Speed. And this basically skipping the animal trials and it just doesn't, it looks like they're not having any safety regulations are being lifted for companies like Johnson & Johnson, which we know, you know, denied for 50 years that they had asbestos in their baby powder, and they're giving cancer to women and children. So these are not companies. And it's kind of interesting, like, you know, Trump's like, what, you don't trust Johnson & Johnson? It's like, no. but anyway, NPR tried to get a FOIA request from the government, because the Operation Warp Speed is supposed to be between Health and Human Services and the Department of Defense, which you're kind of like, because that's this whole military thing, you know? My goodness, it scares me every time Trump says, yeah, we're going to have the military deploy. You're like, what? So anyway, it turns out that Health and Human Services has a very minor part in this Operation Warp Speed, and it's more on the Department of Defense, which has no knowledge of vaccine development and things. So it's very strange. So NPR did a FOIA request, which is a Freedom of Information Act request, and it was denied. And they said, nope, it's exempt, because they have a third party intermediary that is handling the contract between the government and the pharmaceutical companies. So it's a third party. It's like they're covering their tracks so it can't go back to the government. And NPR was just baffled that they couldn't get a Freedom of Information Act request. So that's got to be a huge red flag. And again, this happened this week, you know, just in the last few days, all this has went down. But everybody was so distracted that, oh, Trump has the coronavirus. Oh, that, you know what I mean? Everybody's so distracted by all these other things that they're not seeing some of the mainstream headlines, like Stat News talked about it. This Operation Warp Speed, it sounds like it's just sci-fi craziness with this vaccine. It's like no other vaccine. It's not traditional vaccine methods, which we knew already from Dr. Judy Mikovits kind of alluded to all of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, to wrap it up, you know, we have to be vigilant. We can't, we have to take responsibility, personal responsibility for your health. You know, the World Health Organization is not responsible for your health. You are. And so you have to, you know, stop, like, you got to eat the right things. You got to take the right supplements, invest in yourself, you know, take that walk, go to the park with your kids and play and sweat and get sunshine and eat good things. Because you are responsible for your own health, and you're not going to be able to beat something like Nipah, you know, if you're slacking in those areas.
Awesome. So. Well, this was a fantastic episode, and I don't know why I kept saying that this was episode 2. This is episode 3, Lisa. Come on, Paul.
Oh, sorry.
This is episode 3. We did the fasting for episode 2. This is episode 3.
Okay.
All right, I screwed that up, but that's all right. You guys get it. episode 3. And you know what? These are great shows, guys. Make sure you share these videos. Make sure you share these links to your family and friends, because this information needs to get out to people. And, you know, also make sure you check out our alternative sites like BitChute and Brighteon, because everything might go over there in the future, guys, because we are getting censored heavily on YouTube, Facebook, and the mainstream sites. And so I really encourage you guys, go over to those sites and subscribe. Just be prepared. What you see on those sites is all unique content to those sites. It's not on YouTube. They're all stuff that's too hot for YouTube. So you can check out videos that we haven't even released on YouTube there as well. So make sure you support us on the Patreon account. And go to Framing the World, guys, and support us over there. We got a lot of great material on the website. We have books, DVDs, and you know, a lot of different things there. So if you haven't watched some of these films, it's a great way to support us at Framing the World and to you know, watch a good film. So thank you, Lisa, for coming on the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Bye, Paul. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, bye. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as me. Thank you so much for tuning in, and God bless.